Cracking Copy is a marketing and copywriting podcast where we lift the lid on writing for business and read between the lines of effective copy.
This is a podcast for creative entrepreneurs and savvy business owners like you who understand the value that great copy can bring to their bottom line.
We dive into a different aspect of writing for business in each episode, debunk the myths about how we should write, and explore the ways that writing can be fun, conversational, and creative, while also being high impact for serious results.
So listen, laugh, and learn with us, Ella Hoyos and Minnie McBride, as we share our words and wisdom in each snack-sized episode. Expect some light bulb moments, interesting guests, and practical takeaways as we crack the copy code together. Hello and welcome to another episode of Cracking Copy. I'm Ella Hoyos and today I am joined with Barbara Shimoseki, who is here to talk all about a special framework that she's created for her business, which I'm really curious about, called 123 Your POV. And I'll let Barbara explain. But Barbara and I met during a summit organized by Betsy Muse, who's one of my copywriting mentors, and she has a membership group. We are both copywriters, and Barbara specifically talks about the importance of personal branding in the age of generative AI. And Barbara, I will let you introduce yourself. So over to you. Just tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I may be a copywriter now, but I have over 30 years working as a marketing designer for various brand groups. So really a dyed-in-the-wool visual person. Of course, over that period of time, lots has changed and I've evolved along with the technology. I've evolved along with all the many apps that tell you you don't need a designer if you simply use XYZ. So I've really had to adjust. Luckily, a couple things happened along the way that helped guide my own journey. I had a foray into coaching marathoners who were beginners, and I also had a stint at Toastmasters, working on my public speaking, but then also becoming a mentor. So I realized that I loved words, I loved motivational speaking, and it was kind of the opposite of all the design skill sets that I developed. So post-pandemic, as I started writing on LinkedIn to kind of get things going again, I tried to figure out how I could connect the two sides of my schizophrenic personality. And I realized something. It was that the people that I really enjoyed following had a very specific point of view. And I realized it wasn't their brand. It wasn't the colorful way that they presented themselves. It was something far simpler. And so getting to the bottom of that, I began to develop this 123 Your POV framework. And I guess that's what we'll be talking about today, right, Ella?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love how I think your design background, you can see patterns in things. And I feel like you can see patterns in communication. So where people are communicating, where there's messaging. And I do feel like that skill set you've got has brought you to this point today. Because I've heard you talk about other frameworks. I know you as a sort of LinkedIn carousel queen. I remember a talk you did specifically on designing carousels for LinkedIn, but with around the framework of PAS, so pain, agitate, solution, or ADA, attention, interest, desire, action. So I feel like you're really good at spotting those patterns and putting things into frameworks, which is excellent, and which kind of this is what 123 POV is about, isn't it? It's a messaging framework to help coaches and creatives to stand out. And I think I've heard you say, define yourself in a sea of sameness.
Well, that's really the big problem, isn't it? There's just so much of the same thing 3 tips for this, 7 hacks for that. And you realize that you really lose a connection between the person that posts or the person that writes the blog article and what they're saying. So how do we stand out, especially if we are offering services or some kind of coaching that's kind of unique to our approach? And I think that the establishing some clarity around that is the basis for trying to find a framework that we can begin to plug our ideas into. So it's not about our ideas so much, but it's about making it easier for other people to kind of grasp our ideas, to kind of get where we're coming from.
Yeah. I think, you know, before I'd heard you talk about the carousels and structuring them in that way, it was a real light bulb moment for me. You know, you're right. You need to be able to captivate people and then connect with them and convert that audience. I've also heard that you say that everything happens on social media now. And that people aren't searching anymore, they're scrolling. Can you talk to me a little bit about that?
Well, I'm not really an expert. I realized, sure, I could read a million articles about what's happening and the algorithm and the changes. But just to kind of observe myself, I realized that I very rarely click to an article unless I already follow somebody and just love their, get this, point of view on something in specifically. But I'm really allowing the algorithm or what my likes and dislikes are, I guess that's what it translates into, feed me things that I could possibly be interested in. So that's kind of powerful. A lot of people hate on it. A lot of people feel like, oh, I'm not getting views and so forth. But I have found just by engaging in comments and starting conversations, that's really quite powerful. And I mean, case in point, Ella, I'm in the US on the East Coast. You're in mm-hmm. the UK. We're literally an ocean apart, but we've had these conversations. So, I mean, how great is that? So much happens in terms of connecting. And certainly if you have a service-oriented business, you're in the copy world, you're in the visualizing world, we're kind of global. And I think social media allows us to be comfortably global.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've built my business around being online and being in online communities. And largely that is powered through social media. And that's how I make my connections. And that's how I find my leads. And that's how I make friendships. And that's how I develop my relationships. So, yeah.
On the other side of that coin, I have to say, as somebody who's from an older demographic, it took me a while to get comfortable with it. And I'm sure many people have kind of a lack of content confidence, if you will, about really putting their personal ideas out there just because, you know, we're human. We're afraid of being judged. We're afraid of, you know, some troll coming out of nowhere and telling us we're real dummies. And at a certain point, you have to just get over that. And it's kind of a simplistic approach, but really, how many people are reading our things? Hopefully, we're attracting and having conversations with the people that we want in our little networks that can grow our businesses.
Yeah, that's a good point you make, because when we show up on social media, are we preaching to the converted? You know, there are still a lot of people out there who, like you say, who are shy of it or who perhaps are lurking and not actively involved yet. But you've taken it. You've embraced social media as part of your business. You've upskilled and taken your business of, is it 30 years you've been in business now?
I have been, but you know, it started with magic markers on paper, on layout paper, and kind of went through all of that. So, you know, to me, as people kind of begin to run scared of AI or whatever is going on currently that we don't quite understand the impact of, there's always been a new tool. There's always been a new technology. And you decide, you either decide to get with the program or find a lane or maybe skip it altogether and do something new. We just have choices. And I think that, you know, it's very individual, especially for the solopreneur, the person who has a small service business. It's, you know, you're driving the bus and you can decide.
Yeah, yeah. But let's come back to LinkedIn, because, you know, the question that every online business owner really wants to know the answer to is how they can use LinkedIn to build an audience and attract the right fit clients. So talk about your approach there, then. How would you advise that an audience can be built out on LinkedIn?
Well, that really is the million-dollar question, isn't it? And of course, if I was a guru, I would tell you to get in my program, and you can probably think of a couple names right now who have big name programs that will help you crack LinkedIn and win on LinkedIn. But I think it all comes back to these basic pieces of advice that we get. And one is niche. You need to be very disciplined about what you talk about. Now, this might not come naturally to you, or it may come very naturally as somebody who's kind of honed in their self-promotion. But basically, on LinkedIn, you want to make sure you just talk about what you want to be known for, because that's how it works. If you talk about anything and everything, people out there in the newsfeed may think you're pretty cool, but they don't really know what category to put you in. So this is where this framework thinking starts to come in. Because when I started on LinkedIn, I just was kind of practicing my storytelling. I was really just pulling from my own experience, and some people, it resonated with some people, and there really wasn't a lot of action. But as I began to talk more about the things that I guess I offer as this sort of weird combination of design and copy and strategy, then I began to have conversations and connect with people who are kind of more in that world. So I noticed that and tried to keep a discipline. And I found it hard. I mean, honest to gosh, I found it really hard. So I thought, okay, what helps me when I work with clients? You know, this kind of have a plan, have a framework. So I thought, okay, I'm kind of a simpleton. What is the simplest approach I can take? And one thing that I heard from a lot of people was in your bio, in the little headline copy that sits next to your name on LinkedIn, have a personal headline that shockingly is less about you and more about who you serve. And, you know, what they say about branding, personal or otherwise, is, you know, reading the label from the outside if you're in the bottle. But, you know, it becomes a very interesting thought experiment. So I think that was job one. And so to come up with this one little headline, and I call myself a content designer now, it definitely needs explanation, but it's kind of a catch-all term that feels like it fits. So it's just one little headline that gets repeated. And then, you know, I just try to keep that discipline. And I've noticed that people who I follow who only talk about strategy or only talk about storytelling tactics or only talk about marketing, in terms of finding where your audience lives, you know, these kind of not a general thing that I, you know, from my past, I would just say, I'm a designer. And people would say, what kind of designer? You know, you just get narrower and narrower. And so you take a stab at finding this lane that people can then go, oh, that's the one who always talks about XYZ. And I think that, you know, that's really the approach. And honestly, that's how the LinkedIn algorithm works. If you say that you like puppies, LinkedIn is going to show you everybody's stories about puppies. That's just, you know, it's an AI thing. That's how it works. So we try to make it work for us.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got to send out your bat signal, haven't you, to attract the right people. But sometimes I do find, like you said, you know, it's incredibly difficult in the beginning to really narrow down what is that one thing that you want to be known for, especially if you're somebody with multiple interests. Like me, I would call myself multi-passionate. So I really have struggled to find that one thing, and to, I don't want to pigeonhole myself, but at the same time, I do want to be clear, and I do want to stand for something that people can relate to and people can understand. And even if I'm just giving the gist of what it is that I'm about and how I can help people, then that's good. That's better than the scattergun approach of trying to be everything to everybody.
Oh, I think you've hit the nail on the head, because we're all multicultural, multi-category individuals. And I think what is painful in a way is making those choices. But if you think about it in terms of Netflix and the things that you enjoy watching, you can simply go for a phase where you talk about one area of interest for a while, and then you can kind of switch gears and transition into your take on another area. It's truly, I think, the challenge of how we want to approach it.
Mm-hmm. And I think a very good place to start on LinkedIn is by spending some time in that bio section, in your biography section, in that choosing what that masthead or that banner is going to be at the top of your LinkedIn page, and choosing that headline. It might only be a little headline. It might only be 8 to 10 words. It's some of the hardest words that you'll put together if you want to get it right, but it certainly focuses the mind. So great exercise to spend a bit of time there. If one of your goals is to attract more leads and attract the right sort of job opportunities and things like that, which essentially is what the platform is all about.
I've seen people use that about section or bio section, you know, sort of that you really do have a lot of words there. It's like, I don't know, about 1,000 words possibly is what I'm coming to mind with. But some people actually use that whole section simply talking about the kinds of people that they want to attract, that they can help, and how they can help them. Very little about their own background, very little about how it used to be. I mean, when I first got into LinkedIn, you just put your skills, your resume, sort of very formal, cut and dry bullet points of what you had to offer. And now it's really a flipped story. It's mostly about what that reader maybe would get out of following you. So it's a truly, as you say, it's a tough exercise.
Yeah. But that is answering that question. Your about section needs to answer the question that the reader has in their mind. What's in it for me? Why should I follow you? You know, what's in it for me? And I think people are getting much more savvy to that now, which is a good thing. It's a good thing. Now, please tell me a little bit more about the framework you've developed. 1, 2, 3, your POV. I'm really keen to hear about this.
Well, it fits very neatly, I should say, into LinkedIn. When you think about how you operate on LinkedIn in your half hour a day or 20 minutes a week, whatever you're giving it, it gives you kind of an action plan. So I would say the one is your personal headline. So you could call it that difficult to write little bio line next to your name. But it's that thing where when somebody introduces you, they would say, oh, yeah, this is Ella, and she has this terrific podcast, and she has a tremendous copywriting business. And then whoever you're talking to knows how to think about you. So that's your one. You just want to have something that is easy to remember and easy to repeat. And back to what you said, this is not easy. Mine has gone through several evolutions, but it's that sort of self-introduction that you're handing off to people.
Yeah.
The number two part of this is, how do you illustrate that with two stories that you put on repeat? Just two. I know there are people that I follow who I know them because they did something amazing. They ran a summit, for instance, or they completed a marathon despite having some personal setback, or they won an award, but they talk about it in a unique and personal way. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they're a mom. They're just a mom who is doing all of the career stuff that you personally hope to do, but with a teething toddler and a lot of other distractions, whatever it is, two yeah. stories. And you can never really expect people to remember everything about you. So you pick two stories that also have a little bit of a moral to them, or a lesson, or encouragement, like you can do it too. If I can do it, you can do it. There's something behind them. Mm-hmm. And these are your stories. It's kind of you super simplified. It may feel restrictive, but again, we're kind of doing this for an audience, and we can change it up after a while. I mean, some things resonate and some things are just for us personally. So that's yeah. number two.
Yeah.
And number three, I think if you can find three ways to be helpful, I think that is a gift that keeps on giving on LinkedIn. So if I pull from my design background and turn it into a point of view on how to make a carousel that doesn't look like every other carousel out there, that is somehow a unique way to show maybe my strategy or my coaching approach or my humor, that then becomes part of how I can give some sort of educational, some kind of like little mini masterclass in a 6-slide format. So to have a couple ways, a couple things that you say, a couple tips, a couple, I hesitate to say hacks, but people would like some, are basically on LinkedIn, not so much for entertainment, but to somehow better themselves or figure out how to do their job better or just how to be better as a professional person. So to have a couple things that you offer, and I would say three, go with three. Mm-hmm. And that gives you a framework for what you say, what you comment on, and what you repeat on a continual basis so that people kind of get to know you about
yeah.
them.
Right. Okay. I get it. So the personal headline, that is you in a nutshell. The stories help make you memorable, and it explains, you know, your why you're here and what you're all about. And the three ways you can help others, that does help somebody new to your world. That helps sort of think them to think about, well, what's in it for me? How can I imagine myself working with this person, for example? And as a framework, that's pretty easy to remember. So it's one personal headline, two stories, slightly different angles, and three ways that you can help other people.
And, you know, the reason that I say it's 1, 2, 3, your point of view, your POV, mm-hmm. is because that is the only thing that's left of our personal brand once it is seen and thought about by somebody that just finds us on the news feed. Whether we have certain colors or we do have a certain, say, a podcast or YouTube channel, you know, people aren't really relating to what we're putting out there. They're relating to an essence. So I think, and I don't know, I mean, all of this is kind of experimental, but I think just being very clear about what you think as opposed to what all the other people who do the same basic job that you do think, that helps you stand out in this quote unquote sea of sameness out there. And it's a sea of millions and gets kind of depressing to think about. So you just really get your own little island together and see who resonates with what your story is and where you're coming from.
Yeah. And actually using a framework like this is a very, there's a very high touch, human touch element to it. This is not generated by a bot. This is coming from you. It's authentic and it's real, isn't it? I guess with a framework like this, it's not exclusive for LinkedIn. I mean, how would you, you could use this in everyday life as well. You know, it's not just for LinkedIn, is it?
You know, it very much isn't just for LinkedIn. And I think when we were talking earlier, we were talking about, hey, how does this relate to what we've always called our elevator pitch? And it's basically the same thing. And I'll tell you, one of the ways that I kind of got to this idea was listening to a lot of people in sales give the various presentations and podcasts. I was doing some research on sales for some articles. And I realized that the people who were in sales training or sales management had their sellers practice their introduction endlessly. It involved how they introduced themselves, how they introduced what the product was they represented. They tied it all together to relate to who they were speaking to. And they had it was like, you know, we say, oh, write a sales script. Well, it really was a script, but it was a script like you would give an Oscar-winning actor because it didn't feel like a script. And I heard people on podcasts repeat this, basically the same spiel word by word, but it always sounded natural. And I thought, wow, that's what it's like a portable elevator pitch. Because I would leave and I would think, oh yeah, that's the guy who wrote this book and it's about such and such. And I will definitely, you know, see what else he's working on.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, in sales, I guess it's all about the conversion. They're speaking, they need to be concise. They need to get a result. And it's how they introduce their offer in a way that's going to keep your attention. And but ultimately, it's going to drive you to take action with them.
Very much so. And it's also about clarity, because in order to take any kind of action, you kind of have to know what somebody is talking about. So taking a step back from that conversion, the clarity aspect of it and the simplicity of the message plays a much larger part than we give it credit for.
And have you got any examples of how you might use a framework like this in sort of real life?
Well, I think for me personally is where I'm always experimenting. And one example might be in a presentation. Recently, I gave some local workshops to small business people around the topic of branding. And you know, a lot of small business people who are starting out look at, you know, the nuts and bolts of what they have to do, and they don't really realize the importance of putting their story out there. You're in competition with quote unquote the big guys. So you really need to have something that once a person comes to you or your store or however they find you on Facebook, You need a very simple script, if you will, or about 1 to 2 sentences that kind of wrap up what you do, that someone can take away and say, oh, let's not go to Home Depot. Let's go to so-and-so because they give you individualized attention on your home products, projects. So I realized that there's a quote about branding, that branding isn't what you say it is as a business person. Mm-hmm. It's what other people say about you. So getting that kind of coaching that people to come away with the right message and the right story about what you have to offer is the trick.
Yeah. Yeah. It's what people, branding is what people say about you when you're not in the room. They're what they're left with.
That's
the impression
the other.
They're left with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And whenever, I mean, just from my background as a designer, you know, designers are a dime a dozen, a dime a million. And certainly competition is global. And many AI tools now are very keen to replace you. However, a designer with a point of view or with a different sort of background becomes so much more valuable to those who can understand clearly what that value is.
Thank you. You've explained so much already about this framework, and I get the real understanding of how it can be used to guide, a sort of communications guide for in so many respects. But how can we, you know, it's an umbrella tool that encompasses all of our communications and helps us hone it down. But how can we really use it to help hone your messaging?
That's a really good question. And I think it basically gives us a kind of a ballpark to play in. You know, part of the overwhelm issue with social media and knowing exactly what to talk about that people run into that gets them actually running off to AI to make life easy. When you really want to be unique and you really want to be personal, it helps to kind of have an outline to work from.
Yeah.
So if you have this basic approach where you know how you want to introduce yourself, you have a couple stories which can be told in many different ways with a variety of morals or lessons or interesting insights attached to them, as well as a handful of helpful areas that you can approach as straight education or with examples or case studies. I mean, there are many ways to approach, say you have 3 areas that you can be helpful in. You can approach those in multiple ways. Plus, you can go back and repeat yourself with a few little nips and tucks, because social media is kind of a never-ending river that you can just dive into anytime. But
yeah,
that feeling of having a ballpark, of having an outline, it helps you avoid having that blank page fear. And you just kind of can settle into a personal theme. And that way, people who connect with you or put a comment under something you post or who DM you know how to start a conversation with you. And isn't that really what it's all about?
Yeah, of course. Of course. So having this framework and, like you say, a ballpark to play in, it helps you recreate that mess, those messages you want to tell, those personal stories, but you find a number of ways to tell the same story in different ways. But really, when it boils down to it, you're only telling 2 fundamental stories. You're only talking about 3 ways you help people, but you're using your creativity to, you know, tell people the same messaging but in different ways. So social media is a hungry beast. It's always wants content, doesn't it? So if you can find the same way to repeat your messaging, but in different words, in a different, expressing it in different ways each time, yeah, is going to help you get known for something.
Super helpful. And, you know, one of the things everybody's talking about now is repurposing. So you can tell it in a longer article or in a short video or an infographic. You know, you can just, as you say, use your creativity and just find comments and posts of other people that you can use as inspiration when they fit into kind of your own themes. So I think it's it gives us all a little bit more of a game plan, since social media is, as you say, a hungry beast. And if we're going to play, we really should try our best to use it as the presentation tool that it really can be.
Yeah, fantastic. Do you believe that using a framework like this can help connect and convert more of your prospects into paying customers?
You know, I think that what it can do is it can attract better fit clients and customers. In other words, when you're clear about what you offer, what your approach is, and you move away from the generic stuff, you may not have 10,000 followers, but you may have 20 who really dial in and maybe just follow you to learn for a couple months, and then out of the blue will connect with you when they have a need, because they understand, due to the fact that you were very clear about it, why you're different and better and for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really great. So qualified leads, it will help you attract the right people into your world. Fantastic. Well, I think really you've proven that frameworks aren't just for copywriters. I think with your sort of design thinking brain, that I've seen you time and time again develop frameworks to help with communications, and that's really great. So thank you so much for speaking to me about this today and bringing it to our cracking copy audience. And where can people find you, Barbara?
Well, they can definitely find me on LinkedIn. I'll have more resources for people to download for free to really make this framework part of their process. And I'm always open to having a wonderful LinkedIn conversation. So Barbara Shimasaki on LinkedIn. And I guess we can make sure that is in our show notes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll definitely link to you in the show notes. So thank you so much today, Barbara. Appreciate your time.
You have been listening to the Cracking Copy podcast with Ella Hoyos and Minnie McBride. Don't miss out on future episodes by making sure you hit subscribe down below to keep up with all our podcasts.
And more details and resources are in our show notes.
So we'll see you next time.
Thank you.